This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Governor Jim Justice has lit the lantern in the Capitol Dome, signaling a state of emergency in West Virginia. The move is a symbolic one, according to the governor, who says the Republican plan to reduce funding to Medicaid would result in a health care emergency in the state. Republican legislative leaders released their 2018 budget framework last week, saying they'd reduce Medicaid, public schools, and higher education dollars to balance next year's budget. In a press conference at the Capitol yesterday, Justice said the Republican proposal to cut Medicaid by $50 million, a program that's matched on almost a 3-to-1 rate by the federal government, would be devastating to the state.
We have a health emergency that's right at our fingertips, and there are thousands and thousands and thousands that are going to be devastated. We're going to turn on the dome light from the standpoint of declaring an absolute health emergency within this state. And if we do the wrong thing right now, we're going to hurt so many people, it's unbelievable.
Following the press conference, House Speaker Tim Armstead said in a written statement, Justice owes an apology to the people of West Virginia, calling the lighting of the dome lantern a stunt. Armstead says the people of the state deserve better than bullying from their leaders. Lawmakers are continuing their work on the budget by looking for places to reduce government spending, as promised in their budget framework. In the House, that came in the form of a bill that's been proposed in several previous legislative sessions, but has not been able to make it through the full process. Liz McCormick reports.
The bill originating in the House's Finance Committee would end the Racetrack Modernization Fund. The fund was created in 2011 to supplement the cost of upgrading video lottery terminals, or digital slot machines, and other lottery games. There are four racetrack casinos in the state: Mardi Gras in Cross Lanes, Mountaineer in Chester, Wheeling Island in Wheeling, and Hollywood in Charlestown. Three of those casinos are in border areas and bring in out-of-state gamblers who contribute to West Virginia's overall income. But in the mid-2000s, surrounding states began building casinos of their own. The fund was seen as a way to keep West Virginia's gaming facilities more competitive. Each year, lawmakers set aside $9 million in the Racetrack Modernization Fund for the upgrades, and any unused money rolls over from year to year. Currently, there's $7.5 million left over from last year, but the fund itself is only supposed to last until 2020. The House Finance Committee's bill would end the fund 3 years early and reappropriate the money to general revenue. Delegates in the northern and eastern panhandles, however, had concerns about ending the fund, including Democratic delegate Jason Barrett of Berkeley County, who questioned Louis Southworth, an attorney representing the West Virginia Racing Association.
What kind of decrease in revenue have these casinos seen with this increased competition?
I believe that in some of the years that the racetracks were contributing about $450 million to the state. Last year was $367 million, so there's been a decline, but at least the tracks feel that the fund has helped them keep that level up, and it would have been a lot worse if they hadn't had.
And would you agree that a lot of the players at these casinos are from out of state, and having up-to-date games on these slot machines are critical to bringing those people in?
No question. It's probably 80 to 90% from out of state, and the competition is fierce.
Republican Delegate Erica Storch of Ohio County also opposed the bill. She says the casino in her area is a huge contributor to her community, and losing the fund could make them less viable.
If the racetrack doesn't have that ability of that capital to upgrade their machines, will they have to lay off people? Will they have to, direct their resources in other ways to maintain a competitive advantage? Will they be able to be a good player in the community as they have been? They support a lot of nonprofits. They host a lot of things. They're a major donor to a lot of things. They give back to the community a lot. Will they be able to do that, or will they have to redirect those funds towards their capital necessities?
Storch says she and some of her colleagues may consider offering an amendment on the floor. House Finance Chair Eric Nelson of Kanawha County says he's sympathetic to his colleagues' concerns, but points out it's additional revenue that can help balance the state's budget deficit.
I've got a casino or gaming facility right in my backyard, and fully aware of that. But it's one of the balancing acts, is the priority of giving certain people or industries tax credits versus balancing the budget and doing other things like cuts and other revenue measures.
The House Finance Committee did vote to move the bill to the full House, but on a close roll call vote of 14 to 11. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick at the State House.
Governor Jim Justice joined energy workers from across West Virginia for a rally at the Capitol yesterday morning, sponsored by three natural gas and industry groups. In vague terms, Justice seemed to lend his support to legislation that lawmakers have been unable to get through the legislative process over the past several years, forced pooling. Ashton Mara reports.
The rally on the steps of the state capitol drew hundreds of oil and gas workers from across West Virginia to show their support of the industry. Governor Jim Justice attended the rally, speaking to the crowd.
Here you are, wanting to go to work, aren't you? Wanting to develop a resource that God has given us in West Virginia to create thousands of jobs and do lots and lots and lots of goodness. Now, I commend you, and I will not hinder. I will not stand in your way.
Justice says he understands that the industry needs co-tenancy and joint development laws in order to continue to develop in the state's shale plays and create more jobs. Those terms, co-tenancy and joint development, they're industry terms that reference certain practices employed during horizontal drilling or fracking for natural gas. Co-tenancy would allow companies to drill a well and drain the gas in a given area if the owners of 51% of the mineral rights agree to the drilling. Joint development would allow companies to drill on the land next to owners who have agreed to lease their minerals. The two practices are not forced pooling, according to the state's Oil and Natural Gas Association, but Justice says he knows they're necessary to increase drilling in the Marcellus and Utica Shale regions.
I understand wholeheartedly co-tenancy, joint development, the things that you need, to perpetuate your industry.
Lawmakers have considered several pieces of similar legislation at the State House since 2015, and each year those bills have failed to make it through the process. Democrats and members of the Republican Liberty Caucus argue those practices constitute a taking of personal property for private gain. Justice disagrees.
Now, I know that you're not wanting to take something away from anybody, but sometimes it becomes an effort that is absolutely worthless because you're trying to track down landowners that have, you know, 15 lost cousin Eddies and you can't find them. Now, it just makes common sense that we do what we do.
The Senate Judiciary Committee is currently taking up similar legislation and has spent hours so far discussing its implications. The bill would have to be approved before crossover day on March 29th, the final day for lawmakers to approve bills in their originating chambers. Justice repeated that he stands ready to help the industry in any way he can, but he also presented the crowd with his plan to increase taxes in order to balance the 2018 budget and asked for their support as well.
I need you. I need you to let your voice be heard, not just here. I need you right in these people's offices and tell them to get off their hind end and do the right thing.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara at the State House.
West Virginia decided to get serious about recycling 20 years ago. Lawmakers passed a bill to half the amount of trash sent to landfills by 2010. Glynis Board found out we missed that mark and has this report about the state of recycling in West Virginia.
Scott Ludoff owns and operates Scrappy Pappy's Recycling in the city he grew up in, Wheeling. He accepts a long list of items at his recycling facility.
So we get rid of probably 30,000 pounds of all your cardboard and plastics in that. All the other stuff within that week is all your glass, your metals, other materials. But that equals 50,000 pounds a week we do.
Residents of Wheeling have been sending about 1,000 tons of waste to landfills every month for more than a decade. Recycling hasn't really picked up as a social norm in the city of about 28,000 people. Ludoff wants to change the status quo.
So this is great to teach our children that not everything needs to be thrown away. We can recycle probably safely 80 to 85% of what gets thrown in the landfill.
He hand separates, bales, and sells the various materials to local companies interested in reusing them. But it's hard for a small business to play the commodities game and make money because prices fluctuate based on global trends.
We did 1 million pounds of recycling last year, so we're looking at doing 2 million this year.
Ludolf is also competing with the second largest waste management company in the U.S., Republic Services. Republic does not offer recycling in Wheeling. Big companies have very few, if any, financial incentives to divest from the much simpler business of landfilling.
If we quit, there's not going to be another recycling program to try to come here. Because it takes too much money and too much effort to start it again.
Ludolf started his recycling business about 5 years ago. But Ludolf says with more community buy-in, he could build a facility that employs dozens. His ultimate dream is to go a step further and manufacture products from the recycled materials he collects. Kind of sounds like a pipe dream, right? Well, communities in the Eastern Panhandle have already accomplished something pretty similar. In 1989, West Virginia lawmakers passed a bill that's goal was to reduce residential waste going to landfills by 50% by 2010. According to data collected by the state over the years, West Virginia hasn't yet made any progress toward that goal. But there are a few communities in the state that are serious about recycling, including Berkeley County.
My name's Clint Hogben. I'm chairman of the Berkeley County Solid Waste Authority. So we have a recycling program that started in 1995 and has grown appreciably since that time.
Berkeley County recycles a wide spectrum of commodities, from glass and electronics to paper, plastic, and metals to yard and food waste.
We have almost an individual market for each one of those items.
Berkeley County's Solid Waste Authority also partners with a local residential waste hauler, Apple Valley Waste. That allows for curbside services for the public. John Decker is the managing partner of Apple Valley.
You know, when you look at landfills, they will likely be an intricate part of the solid waste circle for a long time. But what we want to try to do is move them to the back of the line instead of the front of the line.
And like Scott Ludolf's dream of taking recycling a step further toward repurposing, folks in Berkeley County have made that a reality. They're achieving the goal by investing in a company called Ensorga.
So it's kind of the next step. So after you recycle, you have what's left over, right, that was not recycled by the homeowner or separated at the curb. So you have what we would call today as MSW. That material has traditionally only been able to be landfilled or incinerated. And what Ensorga presents is an opportunity to do something further and reduce that volume even more before it ends up in a landfill. And the remaining material is a very dry, almost confetti-like material that happens to be a great product to use either in concert as a substitute for coal. So it's pretty exciting stuff. So we will have hopefully an 80% diversion rate here in the Panhandle in the very near future.
We all think about tomorrow and the impact we're having today, and managing your waste stream through recycling generally creates 6 times more jobs than if you just landfill the material.
Hogben says once you crunch all of the numbers, it really costs about the same to recycle as it does to landfill.
So we're competitive in the short term, and it's the right thing to do, and we're very competitive in the long term when you look at, you know, the environmental cost of landfill remediation that you don't have with when you recycle something.
Hogben says it took a lot of local political support to face the continuous legal battles with landfill companies over the years to get Berkeley County to where it is today. He says, ultimately, it's the will of the community that makes recycling possible. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board in Wheeling.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Our producer is Ashton Mara. I'm Teresa Wills.